We welcome you to this week's sermon for Morrisville United Methodist Church. This week marks the beginning of our new sermon series entitled Heroes of Faith, with our focus first turning to Esther. We will now join Pastor Glass with the sermon.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship here at Morrisville United Methodist Church, whether you are here in person or joining us online. I invite those who are able to remain standing to honor the reading of the Holy Gospel. This morning it comes from Mark chapter 9. Verses 38 through 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, please. So I do want to welcome you again and tell you how grateful I am that you are joining us for worship today, whether in person or online. We are honored by your presence and by your time, and I pray that this will be an experience that draws us closer to one another and closer to God, and maybe strengthens us or challenges us for the week ahead. Today we are starting a new sermon series on Heroes of Faith. In this six-week series, we will be looking at six different stories from the Old Testament where there are heroes, and we're going to be exploring what we can learn from those particular accounts. And today, we are beginning with the story of Esther, a clear hero, if ever there was one. The book of Esther is a very short book. It's only 10 chapters. It's a book with a lot of plot twists and a lot of drama. And I think one of the messages of the book of Esther is that it teaches us that God can use different people in different situations to be agents of God's saving love. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. So there is a personality test that has as one of its questions, do you believe that you are a special agent for the Lord? And if you say yes, that question sort of flags that you might have some delusions or some mental health issues. Now, I don't want to encourage anybody if you are experiencing delusions, but I happen to disagree with that particular question and the interpretation of it, because I think that each of us can be a special agent of God's saving love in the lives of others. And that's one of the reasons I like the book of Esther, because I think it lifts up that message that each of us can be special agents of God's saving love in the lives of others. But to be honest, I also like the book of Esther because it's just a really good story. We heard part of it in the Old Testament reading for today, but I want to share with you the longer story. And I also want to share with you some of the background from our friends in the Jewish faith, because as Jen got to the end of the longer story, you remember that Mordecai wrote all of these things down and that he instructed all of the Jews that on the 14th and 15th day of the month, they should keep a holiday every year, and that they should celebrate with food, and that they should celebrate by giving gifts to the poor and by drinking wine. Well, in fact, there is a Jewish holiday called Purim, which is celebrated on the 14th and 15th day of the month of Adar. And it is a really fun holiday in which the story of Esther is retold in almost every synagogue. And it is retold in a way that is interactive with the congregation, and there's often a play, or if you think of our Christmas pageants, you know how children dress up for that? Well, the children and the youth in the congregation will dress up and play the roles of the characters in the story of Esther. And part of the interaction is that anytime the name of the bad guy, Haman, is mentioned, people will get out their clackers and will start calling out, boo! So as I'm retelling this story today, when you hear the name Haman, what are we going to say?
Boo!
Boo! Exactly, all right? And in the spirit of Purim, for my sermon slides, I have kind of imagined in my mind who I might choose as an actor or an actress to play some of the roles in the story of Esther. And I'll see if you might agree with my choices or if you might have different ideas of your own. So let's hear the story of Esther. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful young woman whose name was Esther. She was an orphan, and so she was raised and cared for by her older cousin, Mordecai. Esther and Mordecai were both Jews, and they lived together in a land ruled by King Ahasuerus. One day, King Ahasuerus decided to give a party to show his friends how lavishly wealthy he was. It was an incredible party that lasted 180 days. At the end of the 180-day party, he decided to have a special feast that would last for 7 full days. He was celebrating with his friends, and to be quite honest, they spent most of those 7 days drinking. At the end of the 7 days, King Ahasuerus sent a message to his queen, a beautiful woman named Vashti, and he told the queen that she should put her crown on and come parade around the room so that all of his friends could see how very beautiful and lovely she was. Some scholars think she was to wear only her crown. Now, whatever she was supposed to wear, Queen Vashti said, "No way." Like any woman in her right mind is going to go parading around a room filled with men who have been drinking for the last 7 days. She refused to go. The king was furious. And so were his friends. If we let the queen get away with this, think of what all the other women in the land will do. Pretty soon they'll stop obeying their husbands and everything will fall into total chaos and it will be awful. You have to put a stop to this. So the king got rid of Queen Vashti. She was no longer queen and she was banished from his presence forever. But now it's time to find a new queen. And the way to find the new queen was to gather all of the beautiful women from the land. And each of them was to spend an evening with the king, and the one that pleased the king the most would become the new queen. As it happened, Esther was the young girl that the king liked best. And so she became the new queen, and listening to the advice of her older cousin Mordecai, she did not tell the king that she was Jewish. It seemed like a small detail to leave out, and everybody was supposed to live happily ever after. However, this is a story with twists and turns. And there were two evil men who worked for the king who began to plot to assassinate him. Fortunately, Esther's cousin Mordecai heard about the plot, and he went to Esther, and Esther warned the king. The evil men were punished, the king's life was saved, Mordecai was celebrated, and everybody should live happily ever after. But again, there is another twist to the plot. Trouble was just around the corner because the king's top official, a man named Haman, had an ego this big. Since he was the top official, everyone had to bow down to him, just like they bowed down to the king. And everyone did bow to Haman. Thank you. Everyone except Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow down because he was Jewish, and he would only bow before God. Haman. Thank you. Haman's ego was so badly wounded that he went to the king and he said, "You know, there are some people living among us who don't live like us. They don't follow the same laws that we follow. They are called Jews. And I think you should proclaim a day at the end of the year when we will kill all of them and take their property." And so they cast lots to find a date. King respected his advice and issued the proclamation that said, 11 months from now, on the 13th day of the month, everyone is to destroy, to kill, and annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, and to plunder their property. Haman, that wicked, evil man, even had gallows built from which he planned to hang Mordecai, because he refused to bow down to him. All of the Jews were horrified, and they began to pray that God would deliver them. And Mordecai himself went to Queen Esther. "Esther," he said, "you have to speak to the king on our behalf." And Esther answered and said, "Mordecai, I can't go see the king. You know the law. The law says that if anybody approaches the king without an invitation, the penalty is death, unless he holds out his scepter to you." And Mordecai responded with these words, saying, "If you keep silent, deliverance from this evil will come from someone else, but you will not escape. Besides, who knows whether you are not here for just such a time as this? Who knows whether you are not here for just such a time as this?" Esther thought about it and said, "All right, you and all the Jews must pray and fast for 3 days, and I will too. And at the end of that time, I will go see the king. I may die, but I cannot remain silent in the face of this evil." So for 3 days, all of the Jews in the country fasted and prayed. And at the end of the 3 days, Esther approaches the throne room of the king in fear and trembling. She knew what the king had done to Queen Vashti. She knew that the king was one who very much wanted to exercise his power and his authority, and perhaps one who wanted to keep women in their place. She was risking her life by approaching him uninvited, But she made her way anyhow. And as she approaches the throne room, King Ahasuerus, who did love her, holds out his scepter. And so she will live. And he says to her, "My queen, what is your petition and what is your request? Even to half of my kingdom, I will give it to you." Now, apparently, somebody had taught Esther that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? And so her request and her petition was to invite the king and Haman to a banquet that she would prepare specially for them. That was her request. The king went to the banquet along with Haman. And after they had enjoyed their feast, the king asked her again, "What is your request and what is your petition? Even to half of my kingdom, I will give it to you." Esther was no fool. She said, "Come dine with me again tomorrow at another banquet that I will prepare for you." So the next day, the king and Haman were at the second banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king asked her again, "My queen, what is your petition and what is your request? Even to half of my kingdom, I will give it to you." And this time, Esther zaps him. "My petition is my life. And my request is the lives of my people." She explained how Haman had tricked the king and how he had sentenced all of the Jewish people, including Mordecai, who had saved the king's life, and Esther herself to death. The king was angry and confused by everything that Esther had shared with him, and so he got up and left in order to spend a little bit of time thinking through her words and her request. Esther is left in the presence of Haman, who knows that his life is in jeopardy. He is fearful, and so he throws himself on the couch where Esther is seated. At that moment, the king walks in, and he sees Haman on the couch with the queen. Haman. On the couch with the queen, and he assumes that he is attempting to assault her. And so, he reverses the edict, and he has Haman hanged on the same gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Yay. The Jews were saved. Mordecai was honored for uncovering the plot to assassinate the king, and Esther remained the queen. And they all lived happily ever after. Now, I will be honest with you. There are some things in the story of Esther that make me a little bit uncomfortable, but it's still a really good story. It is a story of bravery, but it is also a story that reminds me that God can use each of us as special agents of his saving love. As Mordecai said, "Who knows whether you are not here for just such a time as this?" Who knows? A few weeks ago, I heard a story of a young woman who was being assaulted by her boyfriend outside a convenience store. And the story just said someone intervened. Who knows whether that someone was there for just such a time as this? Last Sunday during our prayer time, Linda Penland gave thanks for the assistance that she and her daughter had received when their car broke down on the side of a busy highway on a dark night. The gentleman who helped was a man named Troy. Who knows whether Troy was there for just such a time as this. I don't really believe in coincidences. And I think God puts us in the path of people who may need signs of God's saving love in their lives. And the question is, who knows whether you are there for just such a time as this? It may be a coworker that needs a word of encouragement. It may be a classmate that needs a friend. It may be a family in the parking lot of the Food Lion in Ladysmith, Virginia, with a sign that says, "We need help with our rent." Who knows whether you are there for just such a time as this? Mordecai's question is just as pertinent today as it was when Esther was queen. Whether it is at work, whether it is at church, whether it is in school, whether it's in a parking lot somewhere, who knows if God has placed you there for just such a time as this? Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for all of those special agents of your saving love that you have placed in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us be special agents of your saving love in the lives of others. May we always ask ourselves, who knows if we are here for just such a time as this? We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. I invite those who are able to stand as we affirm our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It is the work of the church to be welcoming of all people, even when we find ourselves at our worst. And we ask for your support in the work of the church. Please be in prayer for our congregation and for its leadership. We truly need your prayer support. We also need your financial support. And if you choose to support us financially, we do thank you for your generosity. If you are here in person, there is a jar in the narthex, the entrance area of the church. If you brought an offering with you today, you can drop it off there. And all persons have the opportunity to give electronically. There is a link for electronic giving pinned to the top of the church's Facebook page, or you can go to our church website and scroll down to the bottom of the homepage and find that there. And again, we thank you for it. In a minute, I'm going to pronounce the benediction, and then I'll make my way outside. And as you are leaving today, I would love to have you stop by and chat with me for a few minutes. If there are prayer requests or things that you would like to share with me, that would be a wonderful time to do that, and I would be honored by it. If you're worshiping online and you have prayer requests that you haven't yet shared in the chat, but you would like to send me a direct message, a private message, or shoot me an email, I would be honored to be praying with and for you in the coming week. In a minute, I will pronounce the benediction, and then as we prepare to leave the church, I'll be joining you all outside, and I invite you to stop by so that we can chat for a few minutes. If you're worshiping online and you have a prayer request that you didn't share in the chat, but you'd like to send that to me privately, please do so, so that I can be praying with and for you in the coming week. And I send you out with the question, who knows whether it is for just such a time as this that God has placed you where you are? And I send you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Mooresville United Methodist Church has services at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can participate along with us either in person or online via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/mooresvilleumc. Sermons can also be seen via the church website at mooresville-united-methodist-church.freeonlinechurch.com/live. Audio versions of past sermons get uploaded to the church website regularly. If none of these options work for you, you can listen to the sermons on the radio on 97.9 FM in the church parking lot. In accordance with CDC guidelines, if you choose to attend the in-person service, we strongly recommend, but do not require, visitors to wear masks and practice social distancing. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety, and we remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.